Welcome to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. Let's get today's show started with your host and founder of the BD Academy, Rob Brown.
Welcome to the show. And we've got here today a true accountant influencer. It's Della Hudson. Hello to you.
Hi, Rob.
Della, great to have you on the show. For people that haven't come across you, just tell us a bit about your background and your areas of expertise.
I'm a former practice owner, so I'm a chartered accountant myself. And I've become notorious since writing How to Grow a Successful Cloud Accountancy Practice.
What was your practice like when you were back doing it in the day?
We were very small. I set up the practice to work part-time based around my kids. And so we had a lot of part-timers.
What is your passion around now in the accounting world?
I really like helping people to do better business, growing their business, having a better work-life balance, or whatever it is for them.
What kind of state do you feel the accounting profession is in right now?
Changing, but then I think there's always something changing. Recently, we've just had to deal with MTD, so I think a lot of people are catching their breath now.
How well do you feel accountants cope with change as a race?
Generally, accountants are fairly resistant to change, which is why it's quite easy for some people to just take the initiative and be the elders. We've known MTD is coming for years now. I sold my practice 2 years ago, MTD ready, and yet I've found people just a couple of months ago who still weren't ready.
Does it concern you that accountants are not perhaps as coachable and willing to take on new ideas as maybe they should be?
I think you just take people as you find them. When I was in practice, it was great because it was easy for me to get ahead just because I would do some of the things that other people just talked about. Now that I am coaching accountants, I suppose I'm just quite selective on the people I work with. They approach me because they do want to change.
Now, it's fair to say you've made quite a name for yourself as being an advocate for women in accounting. Did that come about naturally or did you make a conscious decision to get involved there?
It was something that actually I've previously avoided.
Why was that?
Back in the day when there was talk about having quotas for women on board, I used to think it was a patronising thing and that I wanted people to know I'd got there on my own ability. Since having kids and especially having a daughter, my attitude has changed very much. A generation later and women are still fighting that glass ceiling. So now I've realised that these women-only listings aren't so much about the women on the lists. It's providing those role models for the girls coming through now.
We'll come on to the list in a minute. But why do you feel women are still underrepresented at top levels in accounting?
There is, of course, the thing that it is usually women who take on the primary carer role when they have families. And whilst that might be our choice, there are ways around it. If employers could be more considerate of flexible working, I built my practice around working 25 hours a week. I dropped that to 15 hours a week when I decided to take an extra 10 hours a week out to train for an Ironman. So there are all sorts of reasons that employees might want part-time work. It's not just family. And that's why work-life balance as a whole is important to me. And I see flexible working as one of the real ways of facilitating that.
How on par or behind is accounting and finance with other industries from what you've seen?
I suppose the industry that I see most of is technology. They are further ahead because it is so easy. They have so many remote workers who can do that anyway. And it's ironic that there are so few women in tech, but that's their problem, not ours. In accountancy, when I started up, it was about 50% female intake. It's still about 50% female intake, and yet at the higher management and partnership levels, it's only 25%. So we are losing our talent.
And what's the reason for that?
I certainly found when I ran my practice that I got to choose from some very high caliber women because they didn't want to work full time.
Okay.
Here in the village where I live, our post office at one point employed two female graduates behind the counter, and my own cleaner had an MBA. So women will make a lot of sacrifices to be there for their children. And I'm sure there are men who do the same. I just don't come across them so often.
Yeah. So let's go back to those lists. You appear on a lot of accountancy lists and influencer lists throughout the world. Do we really need these lists? I mean, do they sometimes end up patronising women? Because we don't really have men lists, do we?
No, we don't. I agree with you. They do feel a little bit patronising. However, I think it's more about the generation coming through than those of us on those lists now. I want my daughter and my son to see that women can make it, that we do have equal opportunities. You know, you don't have to choose between a career and spending time with your kids, that it is possible for mothers, fathers to have that, but also for workers as a whole to do something outside of work and, you know, work part-time or whatever they need to be. So I think we just need more positive female role models for those coming through.
But is it a lack of role models that's the problem, or is it perhaps something else?
One is role models. Two is flexible working. Three, I think, is a matter of confidence. It's getting girls to speak up in class, to not allow boys to speak over them. We like to think that we are a meritocracy and that people are able to progress based on how well they do. But you do actually need to be able to put yourself forward. And if women aren't putting themselves forward, then we need to do something about that. So a lot of these things I see as a temporary measure just to get girls to step up as well.
Sure. Let's talk about schools for a moment, because as a former high school maths teacher, I hear part of what you're saying, but the evidence is strong that girls outperform boys at schools at all levels of examination. So they're not doing too badly in school, are they? Something changes, presumably.
I wouldn't really be able to comment on that because I went to an all-girls school.
Yeah, I went to an all-boys school, actually, so I understand. But certainly being in education for a few years, you're probably aware that girls tend to do better at exams than boys do.
Oh, of course, yes. And even better in girls-only schools. Mm. It did mean, of course, I had to go down to, there were two of us who were doing science A levels. We were allowed to go down to the boys' school to do electronics. So even in a very good school, we weren't given all the opportunities that boys were.
So do women need role models and maybe even male champions to champion the cause? So feminist males, if I can put it that way, or are they just patronising to women?
I think yes to both, but it's very hard for men to champion women. I think it's very good because men do listen more to men. Yes, we welcome male champions, but it's also about women stepping up for themselves, because those girls will relate more to female role models. They can see themselves in another woman's shoes more than they can in a man's shoes. While I was growing up, I had a lot of male role models. So please give us great male role models as well.
What does a woman stepping up in accounting actually look like?
Stepping up in accounting, taking care of the people around you. So you're looking after your clients. So that's a technical role, but with these softer skills all around it, or key business skills. But you're also nurturing those coming through underneath you.
So it's leadership skills you're talking about.
Yes, but we all lead differently. My natural technique is more of a coaching role. I coach my clients, I coach my team, and my parenting style is coaching as well, helping people to do it for themselves.
Does stepping up also involve building your reputation, your personal brand? You've been very intentional on social media to build up your profile. Could women do that better?
Yes. And the way that social media worked for me was with working restricted hours, I could network online outside of normal business hours. I could network online while my kids were around but didn't need me. So that was a particularly good method of networking for me, but it was born out of necessity.
Flexible working seems to be hard for some employers. There's some pushback, isn't there? Why should they put themselves out?
Yes, it's definitely harder. You do need to want to do it. But you think, I've built a business. I built that business because I wrote to all the local accountants at the time asking if they had part-time work. So if any of those practices had offered me part-time work, I'd never have set up in competition to them. So you're losing your best people. You get a better balance if you have a more diverse mixture of people, and you will therefore reach out to a better mix of prospects.
So you're talking there about the things we see in the accounting world that tells us that we need to improve our gender equality.
It's been proved time and time again that businesses with more diverse boards, more diverse leadership, do better financially.
Do you have any examples of where accounting firms have gotten gender equality right?
To be honest, even my own firm, because we offered the flexible working, we ended up predominantly female, equally as bad as being predominantly male.
What are your views on positive discrimination?
I hate it, but I think it may come to it as a necessity, as in I think it's patronising and we really shouldn't need it. But until it's happening more naturally, it's a way of encouraging more women to step forward. But that said, I would hate to think that if you've got an equal man and woman, that's fine. If that's the tie break, sorry, men. But I would hate a woman to get a job over a man who was actually better for that role. So it is always very hard. It's all about balance. If we really could see things as a truly based on merit, that would be the ideal. But at the moment, I don't think enough women are putting themselves forward. So if women and men can encourage women to put themselves forward, to give them those skills, to give them that confidence to speak up and share their views, things like that. You know, I notice on your own podcast, you interview lots of women, lots of men. Our voices are a little bit different, but hopefully we have the same sort of expertise in all our different fields.
Yeah, I don't see a gap in women putting themselves forward so much. Is it just that the pool of women in the accounting world is smaller than the pool of men? So it's always going to be skewed for things like panels and interviews like this and jobs?
No, when you have a 50-50 intake, it shouldn't drop all the way to a 25% at top level.
But that's the case though, isn't it? That is fact that at top level it is much more skewed. So the pool of people to choose from, so for higher level jobs and even interviews like a podcast or a panel, it's more difficult to get a 50-50 panel.
You need to start looking at why the women aren't coming through. Why are women dropping out in such numbers? You know, you are losing more than half your women if you've suddenly got three times as many men.
Yeah.
So we need to look at what isn't accountancy doing for women to give that pool, as you say, for drawing on panels and podcasts and so on.
Yeah. Do you feel to that regard, Della, that accounting is failing women?
I see some bits going really well. For instance, I go to something like Xerocon, which is a technology company, notorious industry for low number of women. It's a technology company providing accountancy software, and yet on the stage they manage 50-50, and therefore their audience appears to be fairly well balanced as well. So if somebody like Xero can do it, there is a way through. For instance, ACCA have equal male-female numbers on their board and things like that. So some organisations are managing it very well. There are models there that other parts of the profession can look at. How are they achieving that? And I would say with the ACCA as well, they have a lot of younger people on that board. It's quite interesting.
Mm. Do you see any examples of where men suffer or are disadvantaged in any way in the accounting world?
I would hope that good men are never disadvantaged.
Do you feel good women are disadvantaged?
Yeah, I feel there are a lot of good women disadvantaged because they won't speak up, they won't put themselves forward. And I know Zoe at Accountex has done an awful lot to encourage women to have a go at the speaking, to come forwards. So there are things that can be done to create an environment where women feel more comfortable. But naturally, it will be, if it's predominantly male, the industry is set up for men. And most teachers are female. And therefore, I suspect that's partly why girls do better than boys, because it's women setting up things that they would have benefited from. So we all have our own bias, and that's why we need that balance.
But what would you say to men who argued that, well, look, it's your choice, Della, if you want to go down the childcare route and have children and take yourself out of the workplace full time, then that's the decision that you make?
It is a joint decision, hopefully between the father and the mother.
Yeah.
But not every woman has children. Not every woman takes more than a few months out. So it's more than just the childcare thing. Personally, I was prepared to sacrifice my career to spend a few years with my kids, but it's wrong that I should have to sacrifice it and their father didn't. Now, as it is, I've done very well, built my own practice, so I didn't end up sacrificing anything. But I think it's wrong that you have to make that decision in the first place, that you take a year or a few years out of your career and can't slot back in. So things like keeping in touch days help. The ICAW now has something that I'd killed for at the time, which is a catching up on the last few years CPD. Mm-hmm. I had to piece together my missing CPD from all over the place. Although you do a little bit around the kids, it's when you come back to it, you need all the current stuff.
Sure.
So it's giving the opportunities for a little bit of effort. You can get women back in. You can get women continuing with the part-time work. Because to be honest, why should an accountant work full-time?
Okay, there's a question.
Yeah, there is no particular need to do that.
But the answer to that, Stella, would probably be that it's all about chargeable hours and your value to the firm that you work for, and you're generating those revenues for the firm. If you work 80 hours a week and charge 50, 60 of those, you are more valuable intrinsically than someone that works 20 hours.
But what's the difference between one person charging 50 hours and two charging 25?
Okay.
So just a mindset that I think we need to overcome. So much can be done to facilitate these things.
So your message is, if you work hard and have talent, there should be no barriers.
There shouldn't be. For the benefit of a business to have a diverse team, which is correlation between having a diverse team and having better results.
Do you see examples, Della, where it's actual prejudice of men not wanting women in the senior roles, or perhaps it's just an ignorance thing or a lack of the right culture or things like flexible working? Is the prejudice in place?
These days, I would say it's very rarely active prejudice.
Right.
I have come across a few where I would suspect their motives. But most of the time, it's people just not thinking, okay, so I want this woman to work with me. What do I need to do to facilitate that? And actually, it's usually something really simple. And once you've introduced flexible working, remote working, whatever, then everybody can benefit.
Yeah. You've been courageous in sticking your hand up and championing a cause here. Have you ever received any abuse or pushback on this stance that's harmed you professionally?
I've certainly seen accusations that I was doing it for publicity. There are some people who still don't see the need for it, but I think most men, most women do see that for a little bit of effort, everybody can be better off. We can have a bigger selection of people to choose from. I know a lot of men who structure their practice, you know, they'll do the morning school drop-off, and then the mothers will do the collection and so on. So these men also get to spend time with their families. But also with our flexible working, it wasn't just about parenting. We had one of our bookkeepers. She was part-time because she liked her long weekends. But that meant that she was still in the workplace. We still had access to all her wealth of experience that would have maybe gone if we'd made her choose between, you know, all or nothing. She didn't want to work full time, but she didn't want to retire full time either. So it's that half and half. We have younger members of staff, male and female. You know, we had a rainbow leader, so she needed to leave early on one day, and that was no problem. So she was giving back to the community, even though she didn't have family herself. So these things enrich the community as a whole. Somebody else, he was the treasurer at the local football club. So he was able to be at the club in the daytime when things needed doing, people needed access, things like that, to make sure they had a really good facility for all those in that community. So all sorts of reasons people want flexible working. It's usually parenting that's the driver, but everybody gets to benefit.
Yeah.
Either from in personal life balance or putting back into the community with whatever they're doing.
Yeah. This is great, Della. If people like what you're saying, want to get in touch, find out more about about your thinking and the stuff that you do, how might they reach you?
They can do that through my website, hudsonbusiness.co.uk, or I'm often on Twitter, Della Hudson FCA.
And to finish, Della, would you give us a bit of advice for the women listening that really want to step up? They want to be more courageous. They might find themselves swimming against the current in some respects in the world of accounting. What advice would you give to them to encourage them?
I would say ultimately you just have to do it. But, you know, things like if you want to stand up on stage and speak, then learn how to speak and then just volunteer, get going. Have a go, your local business networking events, work your way up. And that's how I started speaking was we ran our quarterly events to promote my accountancy practice. So, yeah, really make sure you are well-trained, of course. Make sure you know your stuff. But essentially, the bit that's missing is usually just get up there and have a go.
And what would you say to the leaders of accounting firms that tend to be predominantly men in giving women more of a chance and increasing their gender equality?
I would refer them to all the profitability reports, which show that diverse boards, diverse teams are more profitable. And then also ask the question, what's so difficult about part-time working? What's so difficult about remote working? You either trust your team or you don't. And my thing has always been, if I didn't trust people enough to work remotely, then they probably shouldn't be working for me anyway. Especially in accountancy, where we're all professionals, we have our own personal standards for the most part. So let people learn that for themselves. Give it a go.
Well, Della Hudson, thanks for your thoughts today. That's been fascinating.
No problem. Take care, Rob.
You've been listening to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. For show notes on today's and other episodes, plus some great blogs and resources to help accountants lead, sell, and perform at the highest levels, go to bdacademy.pro. Until next time, have a fantastic day.